Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we come into your presence this day, aware of how you cover us. As we woke up this morning to our sleepy community covered in a blanket of snow, we're reminded that that's how you cover us, you purify us. We put on Christ this morning, recognizing that on our own we are broken, dirty, mangled. But once we put on the clean cloth of Jesus Christ, all of our blemishes and battle scars are covered up, and we stand in you now complete. Thanks be to God for the gracious gift of his Son that we celebrate in this Advent season. May you be glorified in this time, Jesus, as your church gathers together and dares to put on the garment of our Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for all you are and all you do, and God's people said. Thank you for joining us this morning at Park Street Brethren Church as we continue to celebrate the goodness of the Lord in the season of his coming. It just occurred to me the other day, I mentioned it last week in our time together, that times are really changing quickly. And I just remember these two rules just from 10 years ago, these kind of social understandings. The internet was just starting out 10 years ago, if you remember. And here were the two rules that were drilled into my head. Number one, don't meet strangers that you have connected to on the internet, right? That was a rule. You remember that rule? And then the other rule, which was a carryover from childhood, is don't get into cars with strangers. You remember that rule? And now we're 10 years later and the app Uber invites us to summon strangers to our house and we get in their car and they take us to the next place. So that's different, you know, like times are changing. But there are some things that don't change. There are some things that are constant, and that's what we're actually celebrating in the Advent season. We're celebrating the things of God, which are the foundational things, the unchanging things, the Word of God, the incarnation of Christ. And so we're in a four-week series that we're titling Gather Around the Manger. And what we're doing is we're looking at the Advent, the anticipation of Christ coming, through the lenses of all four Gospels. That the coming of Jesus, the Lord and Savior of the universe, invites different people from different perspectives, different backgrounds, all to come and worship the coming King. And so today, we're in Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Not a typical Advent text. Mark seems to skip Advent, as he does not have any great detailed information about the birth of Christ, but in fact, I believe that this is a wonderful text for us to celebrate this morning in the Advent season. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Let's go to the Word of God this morning. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. That's a special ancient vegan diet. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we come this morning and recognize the gift of your Son that came in the fullness of time and to which the Gospels testify. Help us, Jesus, to pause, to silence our busy minds, quiet the many distractions in our head and in the world, and let us come, gathering round the newborn Christ, thanking you for the gift, waiting patiently for your coming again. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. I mentioned a few weeks ago that the previous homeowner of our house, we invited over to spend some time with us. It was lovely. And one of the things that happened prior to her coming to our house was a fit of furious cleaning on our part, right? We knew how well her and her husband and their family stewarded this place. And before she came, we looked around and we thought, we got to do better than this. We have to clean. We have to put things away. We wanted her to see every room. And so we cleaned every room from top to bottom. The closets got vacuumed. I mean, this was a legitimate deep scrub. And there was one room that became and has been the room that remains shut, right? Do you have a room like this? In ours, it's the den off of our living room. It's lovely. When we first moved into our home, before we had children, I had all my pretty books there, and I would sit and think deep thoughts. But now it's shut. The room is shut. There are boxes and kids' toys and things that we don't want our children to get into put behind that door. All of the board games with all the tiny pieces that kids lose all throughout the house and our infant child wants to put in his mouth. All of those knickknacks, ripped papers that we want to mend someday. Everything gets put in that room that is shut. And as we were taking Mrs. Rupke through the home, we just said, and you know what's in here, but we're not going into it. It seems to me that it's possible that as we invite the Lord to take up residence in the home of our heart, that there are some rooms that remain shut to him. And that on this season of Advent, as we read about the stories and the announcements in the Gospels about the coming of Christ, it might make sense for us to do the hard work of looking into the homes of our hearts and figuring out what rooms that are shut should we begin to open and to clean and to make ready. Mark is a gospel writer who is in a hurry. If you've spent time in that gospel, everything happens at a breakneck pace. You jump from action to action with little, you know, commentary on what's going on. You're just thrown right into the middle of the story. And the coming of Jesus is no exception. Mark doesn't waste time with genealogies or other kinds of stories that might build us up to. He gets us straight to the heart of it. And yet, he is a follower of the Hebrew Scriptures, and he wants us to know that even though you're getting plucked into the middle of a story, there's some background context going on here, right? He says that he's quoting from Isaiah, and in fact he is, but he's also quoting from Malachi, these two prophecies of the coming of the Messiah mushed together, both declaring that we need to prepare ourselves. In Malachi 3:1, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. And then again in Isaiah 40 verse 3, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. It might seem repetitive, but in the Greek writing of this text, those two words are different. One preparation means to make a vessel ready for something to reside inside of it. And the other is a preparation of getting the details ready for a guest to come. This is the same word Jesus used when he said, "Go and prepare the upper room for our last meal together." So even though Mark plunges us into the middle of this narrative, he is actually asking us, he's trying to get our attention that we need to slow down and we need to pay attention. I was driving through a tiny little town a few years ago on my way to visit some relatives in West Virginia, and I got caught in a speed trap. From out of nowhere, you know, I was supposed to go from 50 to 35, and wouldn't you know, Officer Fife was waiting behind a building as I rolled through a 35-mile zone and going 42 miles an hour, and I saw the lights in my rear view and pulled over. And it became pretty clear to me that this is how the local constabulary kept their funds going throughout the year. These poor city slicker out-of-towners drive through their little Mayberry. As he was writing me the ticket, I watched a car go by with a goat in the passenger seat. That's true. That happened. And I thought, you got me, you got me, he got me. It was fine. I should have slowed down and paid attention. If you are ever driving through Amesville, Ohio, slow down and pay attention and make sure any barnyard animals driving with you are fastened in their seatbelts. How do we slow down in the season? We spoke about this last week. How does one not miss the signs all around us that the Lord is indeed coming, and he's coming again? John the Baptist was one sign. He was a promise that preceding the Messiah that the Siemens graciously read this morning, there would be one who would come to prepare the people of God for the arrival of the Messiah. And his preparation involved a cleansing, a readying, a cleaning. People came forward. It says all the people of Jerusalem went to him for confession and baptism to be cleansed of their sin. And John does a wonderful job of making sure they know you are being cleansed because there is a holy one coming, and he's more holy than me. So holy, in fact, that I couldn't possibly dare be worthy enough to untie his sandals. You need to make ready for this coming king. And as we've been reflecting on this, I just love the imagery. I love the imagery here of this is the season where we put our best foot forwards when it comes to our homes, right? We clean them, we prepare them, we ready them for people to come and visit. And so how are we preparing the home of our heart? I was speaking with this with my small group this week. We were praying about it. We were talking about it. But the question kept coming up again and again. I love the metaphor. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. But how do you do it, right? How do we every year prepare our hearts for Jesus to come? We've already received him as Lord. We already pray to him. We know that the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit makes him available to us whenever we might cry out. How would we do this that might be different than any other time of year? And I want to suggest to you that maybe one way that we could follow John the Baptist's lead in preparing ourselves once more for the coming of the incarnate Christ is to take a note from an important figure in the history of the church, St. Ignatius of Loyola. He developed a daily practice that's known as the prayer of examine. And I think that we could actually augment that practice to be a year-end preparation that would allow us to make ready, to slow down, and in fact pay attention to the work of God around us. There are five parts to the examine. They're normally supposed to be done in 15 to 20 minutes at the end of your day. I want to suggest that maybe we could spend a more substantial amount of time doing it at the end of the year. I'm going to explain those five parts to you, perhaps as a template for us to consider how we might prepare our hearts for the coming of the Lord in this Advent season. Step one is to pray that the Lord would illuminate our eyes to see Him. When we read of all of these Advent stories, when we go to the scriptures, we see that there were signs everywhere. Angels appearing, declarations being made, prophecies being fulfilled. To us, looking back on the fullness of time and the testimony of those who were there, it seems as if there were neon flashing lights preparing those who would experience that the Lord is coming. But in fact, we know that many did not see the signs. They did not get it. They were not walking around with their eyes open. In fact, that is one of the criticisms that Jesus makes of his people. That we are looking but never seeing. We have ears but are never hearing. First part of the prayer of examine that we could do at the end of the year is simply pray for God to illuminate our eyes so that we might see. God, help us see. What are the signs all around us? How have you been trying to speak to us? Help us to take the cotton balls out of our ears, the blinders off of our eyes. Give us light to see. The second part of the prayer of examine is to give thanks. Give thanks. Where have you seen the Lord at work this year? Do you have things that you should be thankful for? In our life, we had another baby. I forget his name. But we're pretty thankful. Monty came into our life. He looked around pretty quickly, and he realized that what mom and dad needed most of all was a child who was chill. And so that's what he is. And we are forever grateful that at least one of them is calm. There's a lot of things that can happen in a year. I think back over all of the stories that we've shared together, the services that we've worshiped together in, the opportunities that we've had to say goodbye to friends and family, the opportunities we've had to welcome in new children, new members, new faces. We have, in this past year, gone from two worship services to three, as we're always aware on Sunday morning as I scurry hither and thither. There's a lot that can happen in a year. It might do you good to spend some time just reflecting and saying thanks. Thanks, Lord. Give thanks. Step three. Have a review of the year. What happened, good and bad? What was challenging? What was celebrated? What was wonderful? There's a music app that I use that tallies the amount of minutes you spent this year listening to music, right? And I was like, okay, I'll do it. And I clicked it, and I spent 46,597 minutes listening to music in 2017. That's almost 30 days of nonstop music. And this music app is very smart, right? It tells us not only how much time you spent listening to music, but what artists you listened to. And you might not be surprised to find out that three of my top five artists from this past year were Boz, The Wiggles, and The Donut Man. What have I been listening to in 2017? Apparently, a lot of toot, toot, chugga, chugga, big red car. travel fast and we're traveling far. You know that one? Lord, have mercy. The lengths that we go to for our children. I really like that app, and I kind of wish that I had multiple things hooked up to me to keep track of things in that much specificity, right? I wonder how many minutes in 2017 I spent in prayer. How many minutes did I spend just watching TV or getting in arguments on social media? How much time did I sit in stillness? It's important to look back and review, where have we been spending our time? What have we been putting our energies toward? And ask ourselves a simple question, are you okay with that? Are you okay with how few times you spoke with a sibling and how many times you complained to a friend? Are you okay with that? It's good for us to look unflinchingly at our behavior and ask the question, Lord, is this what you would have for me? Which leads us to step four on the examine, face your shortcomings. Own them. When you invite someone to your home, and you know that they're going to be looking over everything with a critical eye, all of the projects that you have intended to do but haven't, and all of the projects that you did but maybe not excellently, start to stick out to you in a glaring fashion. You hear yourself explaining to the person who's visiting, well, we were going to do this, but we haven't quite found the time. There's supposed to be pictures in these picture frames, but right now it's just whoever the family is from the store. They look happier than us anyway. It's very easy to look back at those things and want to make excuses. I'm going to tell you not to do that. Look back at this year. Look at the glaring mistakes you made and offer up zero excuses. But instead, place yourself upon the mercy of Christ and ask for his forgiveness. Those who went out to meet John the Baptist at the Jordan repented, were baptized, were cleansed. I was in a homiletics class in seminary, which is a preaching class, and everybody had to give a sermon. At the end of every sermon, each student was kind of critiqued about parts that didn't make sense or transitions that didn't go perfectly. And one after one, I watched students explain themselves after the sermon was over. Well, what I meant to do was that, and this is what I was trying to go for, and I vowed to myself, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm going to receive the feedback. I'm going to let the sermon speak for itself. So I get up, I do my little thing, and shocking, you're going to find this shocking, people hadn't feedback for me. And they said, hey, this story didn't make sense in this context, or hey, that transition. And I said, you know what I meant to, oh yeah, I wasn't going to explain my actions. I was going to, it's hard. Did you know that? It's hard to look unflinchingly at the places and the parts of your life that didn't meet the expectations you had for yourself and not to try to offer up an excuse. That's called being human. Right? But repentance is about recognizing our humanity and relying on the grace of God to forgive us anyway. Review your year, face your shortcomings. Step five, ask for help in the coming year. Ask the Lord, those places that I continually fell short of your glorious standard, can I open the door to those rooms and ask for your help in this upcoming year? This home of my heart is the place where Jesus has decided to take up residence. There should not be rooms that are not available to him. Ask for illumination to see. Give thanks for his goodness. Review the year. Own your shortcomings. Ask for help in the coming year. I think that's a way during this Advent season that we can prepare our hearts for the incarnate Lord once more. He is powerful. He is holy. He is completely other than. Sometimes when we celebrate the incarnation, we marvel and maybe even overemphasize the fact that Jesus became human. I think the fact that he became human is only interesting because he was so not before. He held everything together. He spoke creation into existence. He is a holy God worthy of our best and most sincere efforts of submission. Let's make that our goal this year. Jesus, let's pray together. May you help us to prepare. We recognize the absurdity of the gospel is that as a result of your birth and life and death and resurrection, we are now the vessels to be prepared for your presence. Help us. Help us to take seriously the invitation of Advent to review all of the good and all of the challenge from this year and submit it to your care and love. Help us, Lord, to slow down and pay attention to the signs around us. Help us, Lord, to make ourselves ready for use for your kingdom today and moving forward. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus, the incoming Lord and Savior of us all, and God's people said, amen.